Yes.
Grey BMW go past you?
Yes, that's right.
I'm on my way to see Dr. Masquerade. I'm with Jez in the car and we have parked up. We're slightly lost because we seem to have come into some madhouse. There is a Victorian, a lunatic asylum, and I understand the head lunatic is on Jez's phone talking to us on loudspeaker.
It says, Aid Silas. That must be the head of the lunatic asylum, I think.
I'm now driving in my little Zara. There, I can see him. I can
there
see
he
him.
Is. He's there. He's all. He's
We've
so
flashed him. He's waving.
He's so white.
Right.
He's so white.
So there is this mad fool on a phone and mad fool in a car with a mad passenger, and we are heading as we go. And he's got dark glasses on. He's telling me exactly where to park. We're coming round. Here he is, opening the window.
And yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. Good morning.
You made it to the lunatic asylum.
We certainly have. We've now arrived inside Dr. Masquerade's marvellous mansion. It's absolutely fantastic. I have to say,
it is a mansion.
It is a mansion.
It is a splendid house. It is very posh. I feel you don't think it's posh. You don't know where I live. No, you really don't. I'm in a Victorian terrace house that is incredibly poor. So this to me is like coming into the upstairs, downstairs scenario, but it's absolutely fantastic. Rooms leading off with wonderful
designed
art.
By the lovely Kaz.
Oh, how amazing.
All her colour
scheme. I daren't walk on it. I am not worthy. But Dr. M,
yes.
You are going to take me up to the Bat Cave.
I'm taking you up to the Bat Cave, gents. Follow me. It's the place where Dr. M creates.
He's going to take us up there. My feet are sinking into the plush carpet, ladies and gentlemen. I hope I am giving a vague picture of what this wonderful place is. There's art on the walls, which is very sort of stylish. And
Vobes, I'm going to let you and Jez in and just let you soak it up.
Okay, we are now entering. Oh, my God, here we go. This is your archetypal entertainer's office with this incredible desk, which is sort of curvaceous desk, computer screen.
Oh,
right,
okay.
Come
and sit in Dr. M's seat.
There we are, take a photograph. I'm now, ladies and gentlemen, sitting. Oh my goodness, there is a massive great big monitor. There is, it's all Apple, I have to say, unfortunately, but there you go, can't have everything. There's a laptop here. There is tons of paperwork. You can imagine as he's organising the corporate events all over the place. Picture of Jonathan Ross and a very small dog next to Dr. M. We have shelves with books and plaques, and we've got these golden records on the wall, golden discs. And there's so much. You can imagine him on the phone in here, taking loads of bookings and things left, right and centre. Saying, yes, I'm Dr. Masquerade, of course, lovey.
Twittering away.
Twittering away. We've settled down on the sofa. And the reason we've done that is I want to get behind the facade that is Dr. Masquerade. Dr. Masquerade is a pseudonym. You're really Adrian Silas.
That's right. Yeah, everyone's got a kind of a nickname or a pseudonym, but Dr. M, Dr. M really is a kind of a tribute to my late father, who was a doctor and wanted me to be a doctor, and I never was a doctor. I'd have probably been an okay doctor, but I thought I'd create Dr. M, the world's first party doctor, clinically unproven, not to be prescribed.
Now a doctor of fun.
Doctor of fun. Yeah, well, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if we don't have any fun, there's not much point of being around, really.
See, you event manage, create wonderful parties, that kind of stuff. I've worked with people like Jason Maverick, who is a first-class entertainer. I worked with him back in the good old days of Chessington. And how did you get into this whole amazing industry? It's not something that perhaps you go to school and think, when I grow up, I want to be a party organiser. Or do you?
Well, I didn't grow up thinking that, but as my mother tells me, ever since I was that high, I was always the natural entertainer in the family. And I have got distinct memories of growing up and, you know, people's weddings and parties and being the one that was like, you know, taking champagne to people and doing amusing little turns on the dance floor and stuff. So I suppose inevitably it may well have been in my blood. But then I studied film, video and photography at the good old Polytechnic in central London, which is now the University of Westminster. Got my degree in that, went out and did some freelance location work and production work. Then got a bit disillusioned at that stage in the 80s with the industry because it was all who you knew. And you used to have an ACTT card or a union card, which was difficult to kind of hang on to and keep. So then I went off and joined a medical publishing company with good old Brian Pearson, who is Sir David Frost's nephew, and he's had a nice funky little business called FSG Communication. We used to do medical magazines for Africa and conferences and medical exhibitions in Africa, and that's where I got into traveling and I met the great Fela Kuti in Africa. And after 5 years of that, I thought, you know what, actually this is actually quite fun, organizing things, getting things sorted for people. I'm gonna have a bash at this myself. I think I'm gonna start a company called Masquerade. And I did. No banking, no backing, no overdraft. You did it from a back room in good old Wanstead, which is where we're going to head over to later. And the rest is history. And that was 19 plus years ago.
Karen, you are the better half of Dr. Masquerade.
Much better half.
Much better half. Much more glamorous.
Oh,
more attractive.
Oh, yes.
And probably a lot more talented, but don't tell him I told him that. How did you meet this bundle of energy?
On a blind date.
Really?
He was doing a job for the husband of a friend of mine, and he had this guy, Howard, asked Aid if he would take Tracy, his wife, up to Birmingham. So he took Tracy in the car and they were talking. She said, I can't believe you're not with anyone. I've got loads of single girlfriends, but I've got one I think you'll really like. And she told me, and she said to me, I've met this guy. She said, he's a really nice guy. The only problem is he's short. Because I'd sworn my first husband was short, and I swore I'd never go out with anyone short again.
How short is he?
5'5", I suppose. Sure.
You heard it first here. I didn't dare say that. I get thrown out, you know.
Because I'm tall. Anyway, so I said, please don't give him my number. Of course she did. And he phoned me, and my sister-in-law said, you've got to go out with him. So I went out with him, and he grew on me.
And he goes, so what was your first immediate reaction then with this little short, bald bloke who turns up?
Not for me.
Not for, really?
Yeah, leather trousers, tight top tucked in, not for me.
So was he trying overly hard to impress?
That's how he dressed.
Oh, that was just
that
him?
That is how he used to dress until he met me, because...
So you tamed him?
Changed him. He's still got his leather trousers in the wardrobe. They come out on events.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
That's a different kind of thing, isn't it? I have to say, Jez, we did certainly not expect where we ended up today.
Certainly not. We were going along through lovely East London, like you do, thinking, well, yes, there's quite a lot of high-rises here and quite a lot of Olympics here, and sort of found ourselves in this extraordinary complex. What's this all about? Where are we exactly?
You are in the home of an original mental asylum. This actually, real at Repton Park, is really the Claybury mental hospital site, and that's one of the reasons why they still got me here,
because I was wondering if there is a straitjacket in maybe one of the wardrobes in the house for just, you know, a moment where perhaps a flight of fantasy gets a little bit out of condition, out of order.
But a great story, and I probably mentioned it as you're pulled up in the car, when the development was made, and it is a lovely development. It's only 350 houses and some townhouses, some bigger houses, and a couple of private flat areas. All the patients got rehoused, and what they did is they built the homes into the beautiful woodlands and gardens here. And actually, you know, Repton Park is award-winning. It's probably, I think, considered the UK's prime gated communities. Won lots of awards because of the gardens and the greenery by Sir Humphrey Repton. But when all the patients got rehoused, some of them kind of got out and started walking back to the gates, knocking on people's doors, saying, I used to live here. Yeah. And that was quite shocking for some people. I actually think I would have loved that to have happened here, because I'd like to see Kaz's face.
And you've got this fab house. Are you responsible? I gather you are for all the design and the...
Yeah, except this office.
Except this office, yes. There is a marked difference, isn't there, between this office with the brown wallpaper and the big cupboards and bits and bits and all the photos and everything, which does sum him up and his events.
Yeah, that is him.
To the rest of the beautiful house.
The rest of the house is quite minimalist.
Yes.
Because that's more me.
Yes.
Yes.
I'll let him get away with it in here.
What did you do? What did you do before you met him? Him, aid.
Before I had kids, I worked in marketing. And then I didn't work once I had the children. And then about 8 years ago, I started working for a mobile phone company. And I don't do that anymore either. So now I'm a lady of leisure.
Lady of leisure? What do you do with yourself all day long?
Why don't you start? I don't know.
You don't know? You make time for stuff.
I don't know, really. I'm just always busy.
Yes.
Probably okay. Doing nothing.
No.
I see my friends. Yes. I'm quite social. I'm a lady at lunches.
Lovely. How lovely.
I used to live not very far, almost around the corner, but on a main road.
Right.
And I had a really big house. It was lovely, but I felt time for a change. And I just thought this was safe. It was brilliant. When the kids were that much younger, it was perfect for them because there's three developments that are linked and you could walk safely through the developments to get, like, the kids had friends that lived in the third development. They wouldn't have to come out of the development at all. They just walked through.
Yes.
So it was safe for the kids and they can play here with their friends. They used to go to fields and forests and they'd go paintballing.
Do you have much time for your family with all of the Dr. M stuff that's going on?
Probably, you know, truthfully, the most important thing in my life.
Yeah.
You make time for the work and the business, but that all gets driven by the fact you're providing for your family. And so Dr. M, aid, is very close with his family. Because I'm not with Lisa anymore, that makes it probably more important because you feel you have an obligation to still provide and do things.